The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Get like a voice modulator on you?
That'd be awesome. I should have done
that. He's an idiot because the first thing I asked him, I'm like, did you show any signage, right?
Well, yeah, I mean.
Did you stand in front of, did you wear a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? Did you wear a Rock's Hot hat?
Ricky, first of all, where did you learn to drive like that?
The car. Car handled real good.
Can you speak up, Ricky?
The car. Yeah, real good.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is she available? Can we get her on the show? I want to know, like, her reaction when her assignment was, yeah, we've got this doofus who had his car stolen three times. Like, after the first two, he decided not to get rid of it. Went through the entire process of trying to get rid of it. Decided not to pull the trigger on a car and then got it stolen a third time.
I felt like I was on a spaceship. And I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
It'd be good just to hold them down by your side. Yeah, great.
Well, we're real happy with them. With what was going on.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
When you get fired from a job, your key card doesn't work immediately, right? Like, that's the thing now with technology and whatnot. Like, it used to be, if you had an actual key, you could have made a second key.
Yeah.
And you could have your hide a key that you hold on to and you return the actual key. But with technology now, you swipe a key card, you get fired, or you're no longer with your team. Boop. Immediately. There have even been videos I've seen that have gone viral where guys have tried to get into, like, a training facility and their key card doesn't work and it's been an accident, but it's gone viral because they're like, oh, am I getting cut? You know, maybe that's been on Hard Knocks or something like that. But Ashley asked us this morning that at this point in time, on March 24th, does Aaron Rodgers' key card at 1265 still work?
Yeah, there was an interesting question posed in the office yesterday by one of our teammates, Ty, who's like, my dad was asking me, do you think his key card still works? And I thought it was a fascinating question because they don't want him in the building.
Legally, it works.
But, like, legally, it has to work.
Has to work.
But it would be really funny if it didn't.
Has to work. Because he's still under contract for the Green Bay Packers. And if he wants to work out in the facility, that's his right as a player. And there would be a grievance filed against the Packers if it didn't, from the NFLPA. And the Packers would probably have to pay a pretty hefty fine.
But wasn't there a player or quarterback a couple years ago that they didn't want in the building that was still under contract?
Ooh, if you could come up with this, that'd be very impressive. And it would change my prediction for a week in Reach You.
Wasn't there?
It's going to be a zero.
Really?
A Packers player.
Well, they're not
going to
change the code
the building?
For one. I wonder if it's still 1265 to get into their lot.
That always blew that louder, my mind. I think.
That was the code to get into the lot back in the day. Very creative.
It's about as creative as your 8989 the garage
Superman
code.
1.
Maybe I'll change it to 1265.
Maybe. That'd be fun. Although, if somebody wants to break into your garage, I
Are
feel
you
like that's
serious?
That's
that was the code.
Yes.
To get into
to
the
get
player's
in.
Parking lot,
yes.
It was 1265.
Yes, it was. So you rip on me. That's
this
even worse.
Organization...
Yeah.
Ended up having one of the 12 history, and yet the parking code was 1260, was the address
just
of the
so
building?
Just so you know, earlier when I was talking about a buffoon franchise, Gabe just lowered the line to 3.5 upon learning that the code is in fact 1265.
If it's still 1265,
Andy Reid would have
riot.
Andy Reid would have some of the greatest stories, because this is the old facility. Remember the old facility, Lombardi stuff? It was probably that way when you were working for Fox 6. So they would go through the famous Lombardi door to go to their offices, and Andy would always show up early. I'm talking 3:34 o'clock in the morning, and he said a handful of times there'd be a drunk guy outside of the door to get in. He'd be like, I can freaking kick Chris team. He'd be like, I'm sure you can.
Hey, I'm sure you sober can. Up. And
just
come
hammered
back
drunk, just sitting by the door waiting for our coach to go in because they wanted a tryout.
What is it they always say when you are in a standoff or in a feud with somebody? Don't give them the ammunition. Don't give them the bullets to the gun, right? Mm-hmm. To shoot you, essentially. And I feel like any indication or any suggestion that they locked Aaron Rodgers out of the facility would play so well to this campaign that he has been trying to run, which is to drum up sympathy, to drum up allegiance, to drum up people supporting him as opposed to the franchise and the team. Can you imagine him going on Pat McAfee, impromptu appearance on Pat McAfee show, and he says, well, and he holds up the key card and he says, This doesn't work. They have locked me out of the building. The outrage! The outrage, you guys.
If he heard through the grapevine that he had been locked out of the building, how fast does he get to Lambeau so he can create, like, just with one of his buddies, so they're sitting there with the phone, they're recording him trying to get into the building, and he can't get in. If he heard through the grapevine that they locked him out and his key card no longer worked, like, what, yeah, 4.5 hours he's there?
However fast a private jet goes.
All right,
right?
Well, I'm sure they didn't lock him out. My question is, will he ever go back into that facility until he is going into the Packer Hall
I'll
of Fame?
I'll take it one step further. Will he ever go back into the facility, or does he send someone to get his things, right? Like, think about if you have a bad breakup and you have to move out of the house. Do you sit there and pack your things, or do you send someone else to go over and get your stuff?
Well, okay. So let's ask this question, Chu. What do you put in your locker that you would want back? I mean, Adidas can send him a new pair of shoes.
Nothing has sentimental value? Nothing that may have been the last time, or you wore it for the last game, or does he already have all of that stuff?
No. My guess is he already took all that stuff. So I don't know what you have in your locker.
No, not nothing. Deodorant. Maybe a little hair gel.
I think that all that can stay there.
Hair gel. Oh, my God.
I mean, he played the 90s.
Oh, so gel it up, baby. No, there's nothing. But he could be spiteful, which he's probably going to be, because the shoe room is probably about 3 times as big as this room. And my guess is he probably has 40 to 50 pair of shoes in there. You know, I'm sure he's going to say, pack my shoes up and send it to me.
Sure. That makes more sense.
You know.
Than him going back there and, like,
I don't think he goes back.
Bringing one of those dollies.
Yeah.
You know, stacking the shoe boxes. Well, does he want to say bye to anybody there? I mean, he's got to have a good relationship with a bunch of people. Red's there, right? I mean.
Do they give him his locker? Remember they shipped the locker down to Brett?
Well, that was because they were trying to, like,
I'm just
somehow
saying.
Convince him to stay retired, and, like, sending the locker was...
Like, look, we already removed it, so...
They were just sitting around a room going, wait, guys, in order to keep him retired, what if we send him his locker? Yes!
Cool.
Let's ship it to him. We can do that today.
Was there some thought that as a retiree, he would just want to sit in the locker?
<I don't know. laughs>
that might, like, squelch any desire he had to go back to Lambeau Field or something like that? 800-990-3776. Let's get out to Alan in Milwaukee. Alan is on the line. Good morning, Alan. You're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, how's it going, guys and gal?
Doing great.
Hey, in their defense, Jim, while you were gone, the guys were pretty well behaved, just so you know.
Well, thank you, Alan. Yes, we were fantastic.
Not sure if I'm supposed to be happy to hear that or not.
I don't think you're supposed to believe them.
Chu, you kind of touched on it a little bit. One, I got two questions basically for Chu. One, you kind of touched on, who can they bring in as a backup? Because they clearly can't bring in a backup who's going to be better than Love to sit behind him, because everyone will just clamor for him for the other guy to play. And the other question is, do they dare play him in the preseason? Because if he plays and he doesn't light it up, then all preseason long it's, oh, how did you guys, you know, mess this up? How did you guys mess this up? And if they don't play him, then it's kind of like they're hiding him until week one.
Have to play him.
You have to play him some. Maybe half a games or start with a quarter and build it up. And then as far as a backup, I mean, I look at my second year. My first year, it was obviously Brett, Magic, and Ty Detmer. First year. So then obviously Magic is let go after he's hurt. And then that next year, they go with Brett, who's going into his third year, Ty, who's going into his second year, and Mark Burnell, who's a rookie. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do nothing, which I think the way this is trending, with them doing nothing at receiver, tight end, across the board free agency, I think they're just going to maybe draft a guy in the third, fourth round and say, hey, we're winning 6-7 games anyways.
Well, that's kind of what they did with Aaron, too, because they had Aaron. But then they go out and draft in the same draft. They had Matt Flynn, who was the 7th-round pick, and then Brian Brohm,
yeah,
who was a 2nd-round pick. You know, so they went out and they drafted younger guys to end up being the quarterbacks, and obviously Flynn ended up being the better of the two, which I don't think was really anticipated being the 7th-round pick. But Maybe they do that.
I want to see him as much as possible, not to an egregious point where then you're putting him in harm's way and he could get injured. But I want to see Jordan Love, and I want him to get those live reps against other teams and however long their ones are in. That'll give you a good idea, and that'll give the Packers a good idea of, like, and again, I think they already know where they stand with him. But I think the what determines a lot of success in the league are those live reps. And the more of them you have, then the more comfortable you are, right, Chu? When you,
yeah. It's just, you know, I always divert back to Jason. What would you say Jason is with Jordan Love? I would just say he's
cautiously optimistic.
He's not sold.
When, no. But,
he's
sure.
Just not sold after 4 years right. of watching.
But there's been
3 years
so much,
of watching
but
the guy.
Limited watching it.
Sure.
Very limited.
Sure. Sure. But I mean, I looked at John Michaels the first time and went, Ron, what are you drunk? I mean, it really.
Be like a Teddy Bridgewater.
It doesn't take that long.
Be like a Teddy Bridgewater as a backup for Jordan Love?
I would just roll it. I just roll with what they have, draft the guy. Because typically a backup's there, like, most teams are delusional and like, hey, we can get here. We can get here. We need a backup that can win us 3 games if we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In this case. What are 3 games going to do?
When you're a team with aspirations of making a deep playoff run, having that backup quarterback is probably a little bit more important.
Let me ask you this.
Because you have to stay afloat for those three or four games if your guy gets injured. But if you're a team that's kind of going through this rebuilding, seeing what a quarterback has.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
having a young
quarterback.
Over
this last week, I'm blown away by the polls. Is the people out there actually think that this team can make the playoffs?
I don't know if playoffs feels, but again, remember, more teams make the playoffs right mm-hmm. now, but I think that the number that you guys threw out there felt insulting. It felt like, we don't think that this team or franchise or front office is capable of fielding a competitive team. That's what it felt like. And again, I know we've talked about that this morning about you guys are saying, just manage your expectations. But to me listening, it felt doomsday-esque.
Well, I'm standing by the fact that it is going to be a very rough ride. I'm not coming off my to make the people happy. I'm giving you my analysis like I did last year, and this is what I think this team can do.
800-990-3776. I do like the idea of Teddy Bridgewater or Carson Wentz. I think I am firmly, solidly in the Bridgewater camp. Those are your two options.
I would take Teddy. I don't want Carson anywhere near my franchise.
I love Teddy. Teddy two gloves.
Sure.
Dynamite drop in.
Sure, no.
Cheap? I mean, what are you going to pay him?
Yeah, cheap.
How cheap?
$2 million? Maybe?
Can we go league minimum?
What? Well, what's it for a veteran?
Now that's insulting.
And I know insulting, coach. Next time you've got a craving for pizza that you just can't ignore, head over to Proof Pizza at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Proof specializes in fast, casual, Neapolitan-style pizza, along with a selection of delicious appetizers and salads. Try a classic pizza like pepperoni or a margarita, or maybe experiment with a more unique creation like the artichoke and chicken or the Genoa. Did we figure out if it's Genoa or Genoa?
Genoa, I believe, is the proper
pronunciation. What do you think, Chu? Genoa or Genoa when you're talking Geneva convention?
Gabe?
Genoa. Is that what you said, Ashy?
Genoa is what he said.
Genoa.
No, you can't hear me without headphones on.
I said Genoa. But we don't know. We're going to figure it out. Maybe we put it on the poll. Is it Genoa or Genoa? Better yet, try the rotating pizza of the month option. Order from the counter at Proof or directly from the bar at St. Kate. Explore the menu and learn more at proofpizzamke.com. This is like when my mother-in-law orders at an Italian restaurant and she's like, I'll have the pasta fazool. And we're like, you're not Italian. You are Italian, but you're not from Italy. You're from Boca.
Gabagool.
Relax. Yeah, exactly. A mozzarella.
How do you say it?
How do I say it?
Yeah.
Genoa.
All right, let me ask you this because this comes up.
So, according to this, it's Genoa.
Now?
So
Genoa. Now, that's what I call ridiculous.
So, now, how do you say minestrone pizza. Soup? Minestrone?
Like, she says minestrone.
Okay.
More Jen.
But you have to do the hand
you
thing.
You have to do the hand thing right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I fell for the devil's daughter. I jumped in, yeah, I jumped. drank the water. Tell me, doctor, can you fix my brain? Cause everyone that says I'm insane, help me loosen this falling chain. There's no use talking, I'm a dead man.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy back on ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN. Remember, 800-990-3776. That is our ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Anytime you want to get in with the show, share an opinion, react to our conversations, that is how you do it. 800-990-3776. So you guys know what?
I hit the button.
Yeah, his microphone was off.
I know, but I could still hear it because it was very loud.
Well, he's
very verklempt.
He's got large lungs. He's a large human being.
He's got large lungs. It's amazing. You guys know that I was gone this past couple days. I was traveling for a work event. Why does it always seem when I am traveling, I have these strange interactions with other human beings? So let me just tell you about grabbing lunch at the Las Vegas airport yesterday. I'm standing in the food court at the Burger King, which, again, you guys know is my favorite fast food place. And there is a long line of people waiting for two options to place your orders. There's a person working the cash register, the teller, if you will. And then there's a kiosk off to the side next to like a cooler with a bunch of beverages and whatnot. And there is one line for both. So obviously, when you get to the front of the line, you have a choice between going to the teller or the kiosk, whichever is open. Now, there's probably some people who are uncomfortable using the kiosk and would rather just tell their order to a person, but they could easily defer and say, no, I'm waiting for the cashier. So I'm standing in line. There's probably about nine people in line. I'm probably third from next to order. And some guy in glasses and a baseball cap and his backpack on waltzes over and just steps in front of the kiosk and starts putting. Now, I will say this. He did not step directly in front of the kiosk. He kind of was off to the side of the kiosk and was kind of like pushing the button like over here, almost as though he knew that like he was gaming the system.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone in the line is looking at this guy like, hey, buddy, what do you think the line here is for? And he says, I thought the line is for the teller, the cashier. The kiosk is for anybody. And they're like, no, we're in line for both, either, whichever pops up first. And as he's conversing with one of the people in the line, he just keeps pushing the buttons. He just keeps picking out a Whopper, picking out a soft drink, still continuing to converse with the person who's like, sir, we are all in line for that kiosk and the teller that you are currently placing your order on. Sure enough, takes his card out of his pocket, holds it up to the little scanner, boop, purchase, done. And then so at that point, while he went back and forth with somebody, he still proceeded to place his order.
Well, good for not wasting time. Because then, if you're just arguing wasting time, the kiosk is open.
It's a very good point.
At least somebody's keeping the line moving.
But then it's not like you just get your Whopper right away. You have to hang.
Yeah.
So now he's hanging there with all of us that he just jumped the line for. And it just felt, I couldn't decide if I was like impressed or furious. Where should I have landed on that one?
Well, who fell asleep in the line that allowed him to just kind of jump in there? There should have been somebody walking up. Like, again, when there's a long line, you can't be falling asleep in that line. You got to be moving. There should have been somebody walking toward that kiosk that when he popped in, there's somebody right there going, hey, what are you doing?
But even if that person fell asleep at the wheel, what about the person behind that person? And then the person behind that person, the person, you know what I'm saying? Like, the person who was right there may have wanted to use the teller. And then it was probably up to them to say, no, I'd rather, I have a complicated order or whatever.
Up to you anymore. When you got one, there's only one line. You take the next one, it's open.
But so I'm saying, like, even if that person did not, the person behind that person should have had the right of refusal.
Said, yeah.
And then the next person would have had the right of refusal. And then the next person. If you get through the whole line and nobody wants to use the technology, right? They're all scared of the kiosk. Then I get it.
That's why you need two lines. That's why you need two lines.
Nah, that would not have ended well.
In your life?
Yeah.
No. Because it's Vegas, so typically you're probably mildly hungover.
Mildly.
Unfortunately, that was not.
There would have been some, yes.
Hold on.
Okay. My bad.
Well, I'll ask my follow-up after we get toward the end, because I've got some follow-up questions for you.
What's your follow-up?
Why are you eating fast food before you jump on a plane?
Why am I not eating fast food? What am I supposed to eat? I have to eat something. I'm starving.
Well, a protein bar.
Flight was at 11:36. It's a three-hour flight from Vegas to Chicago. And then a little, I literally was in the air for maybe 13 minutes going from Chicago to Milwaukee, by the way.
I feel like any sort of fast food, you are rolling the dice with your bowels as you jump on that airplane.
That's like guy not thinking about other people on the flight either.
But, and I don't, first of all, I don't have that issue. I don't, fast food doesn't make me toot. And second of all, the Whopper is barely fast food. Whopper's a flame broiled burger.
Whoa. I did not realize that marketing worked so well on you. I saw it in the commercial. It had to be true.
I see those flames whenever they show the commercial.
Thank
you. Yes, it's like going to your local pub. It's like going to your sports bar and getting a burger. It's the same thing.
Second of all, while I respect your loyalty to the Whopper,
it's very strong.
And hey, look, it's been a while since I've had any fast food burger outside of like a Culver's, which is probably more fast casual, but still in that. I haven't had like a McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King.
See, those are fast food burgers.
Burger King, until they change their commercials, are on my, that's my, my no-go.
Why? What's the matter with their commercials?
At BK, Whopper.
I like that one. You don't like
so much the BK one as the Whopper one. But look, you're singing it perfectly in tune.
Great
marketing.
You're
singing it perfectly on time. I feel like in my advertising 101 classes back at Marquette, back in the old Johnston Hall, they would have said, that's a win for Burger King.
I recognize it. And because I recognize it, I ain't going, you ain't getting my money.
I mean, the Whopper is...
Stanza.
Yes, exactly.
Jen, when you say barely fast food.
Yeah.
What's the, where's the line? How is the line drawn in the sand?
Yeah, what's McDonald's?
Fast food. But also, those are not burgers.
But what do you mean barely?
Because, you know, fast food, it's like, look, we talk about this all the time on this show, right? It's like the old government definition of pornography. You know it when you see it, okay? When you look at a Whopper, it doesn't, it's not fast food. It doesn't feel like fast food. It doesn't have that, like, microwaved element to it. It feels like a burger you would go get at a restaurant.
It's got the marks basically painted on. Those aren't real.
It's like a Sharpie.
I hate to break this to you,
it's
Jen.
Not the
Those
same.
Aren't real grill marks.
But
it could be.
Yes, exactly. That's,
they could be.
That's
Gabe.
What I was going
They're
for.
Not, but they could be.
They do a very good job of pretending to be. And you know what? I appreciate the effort is basically what I'm
so
getting at.
So where is the line of fast food? Like, is Cousins fast food?
Well, he thinks it's fast casual.
Well, does it need to have a drive-thru? Does drive-thru automatically mean fast food? This is an age-old question.
I would say Cousins. Man, I don't want to put Cousins in fast food, but a lot of them do have drive-thrus.
Yeah, the one I go to.
Yeah.
But two, like, of them I have go to have drive-thrus.
Do you consider Portillo's fast food, though? They have drive-thrus, some of them.
No, I don't consider Portillo's fast food.
Culver's?
That's in the same category as Portillo's. Takes a little bit longer to get it.
That's fast food.
But again, is the whole point of the taking longer, does that eliminate it from fast food? If they don't hand you the bag as soon as you order the food, right, because they've just shoveled it off of the conveyor belt into the bag, that to me might be the distinction, and that's where I feel like the Whopper also qualifies as not fast food, because they're making it when you order it.
No, I think the line is like Applebee's, Chili's, that's not fast food.
Burger King isn't fast food. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I want to be very clear. Burger King is fast food. The Whopper is barely fast food. It feels more
you
restaurant
are trying to slice
split
the finest of
burgers.
Hairs.
We're slicing burgers over here, not splitting hairs, Gabe.
You are just... So Burger King, definitely fast food.
Correct.
Whopper.
Correct.
The main thing they
correct.
Sell and advertise
barely.
Is barely fast
correct.
Food?
Correct. 1,000,000%.
The only
yes.
reason I'd say Culver's isn't fast food is because they start making
what
it when
is
you
going
order.
On?
Right?
That's the same thing with the Whopper.
They're lined up. Oh, sure.
They're not lined up. They're making it right there. I watched them make it right there. Taking the bun, taking the burger, putting the tomato on, putting the pickles on, squeezing the mayonnaise, squeezing the...
They do that everywhere now. That's every fast food place.
No,
because you order it.
No, you think
they just have a burger sitting there?
No, yes. Think about when you go to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has just a conveyor belt of spicy and a conveyor belt of regular, and they're just grabbing those off and dropping them in the
bag. It's actually a conveyor belt, like for real?
No, you know, they drop it down the
little
slot.
That would be awesome
if
it was.
It just sits there. Let's get out to the phone lines. 800-900.
Chicken sandwich slide?
Yeah, exactly. Whee! 3776. Montreal in Milwaukee. Oh, Montreal used to work at a Burger King.
Montreal.
Oh, Montreal. Sorry, it looked like Montreal.
Yes.
Hi, Montreal.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I worked at Burger King for years. I used to actually be the supervisor there. When you take the meat out of the boxes, it's regular ground beef. There are no grill marks on it. You actually put it in the grill. The grill is actually a fire grill, and that's how the marks get on there, because when you sit it on the conveyor that it rolls through, it makes the marks because there are a bunch of little lines on the conveyor as the fire hits it and it goes through.
See, now that, so thank you.
A real fire grill burger.
Thank you.
That's what you're basing.
That's what I'm saying. It's barely fast food. It's not like you just heated it up in a warmer.
But if I went one or zero, Burger King, the Whopper, fast food.
Barely.
But it's one or zero. It doesn't matter. It's one or zero. It's a yes or a no.
It's a maybe.
That's a one.
Okay. So it's still fast food.
You can't answer for me. That's not how this works.
Someone's got to answer,
though. Your lack of answer tells us everything we need to know.
Pete McGuadigo saying, if it's super slow and usually wrong, it's not fast food. So again,
I think that's Burger King.
Burgers are all pre-cooked.
Burger King.
Come on, sister. Oh, he's saying at McDonald's, nobody just hands you the bag anymore. What is this, 1970? Ron in the Key saying, barely fast food, just like balding is not bald.
Well.
I feel like some of us took exception to that.
So he will be bald. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. We need a couple of callers, 800-990-3776. It's time to play Week in Rechew. First caller get the option if they think Chewy's going to win or lose. If he gets three questions right, he wins. If he gets three or more wrong, he loses. The other person stuck on the other side, 800-990-3776 to play Week in Rechew. Let me tell you about our friends at Bunzel's Meat Market, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. This is not fast food. This is high-quality butcher shop that we love going to at Bunzel's. They have all-natural bone-in center-cut pork chops, just $4.99 a pound. This week, homemade burgundy pepper marinated flat iron steaks, $12.99 a pound. USDA prime boneless sirloin steaks, sounds delicious, $12.99 a pound. Maybe you want to make your own burgers after hearing us talk about it. Fresh ground chuck is just $4.99 a pound, or if you buy 5 pounds or more, you can get it for $4.79 a pound. They also have USDA choice corned beef brisket, just $11.99 a pound. Stop in at Bunzel's. It's 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. Only place I go. You won't regret it either. Start by going to Bunzel's.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna.
Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
When exactly did you become Chewy's arch nemesis, Ashton?
August 31st, 2020, I think, was the day the show started.
It was an immediate thing. There was no build-up. There was no learning curve. It wasn't a gradual progression.
No, the minute that I had to put on the blonde wig in our intro video, again, nearly 3 years ago, that was the day I decided, yeah, this guy, me and him, we're going to be friends.
He used to be so afraid of me.
It's true. I was.
When we did the show, he'd walk by and go, he wouldn't say he'd just have his head down.
Hello, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chmura.
Hi.
Yeah, well, okay. I've grown.
You have grown.
But now you hate him.
No. I don't hate him. I despise him. I don't hate him.
Well, it makes me feel all so right. much better.
Hey, thesaurus over there. How's the game going to go today?
Well, let's find the open.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Rechew.
How you feeling, big guy?
What's the under-over? 5.5?
There's only 5 questions.
I'm going under.
All right. I had confidence in you before the show started. As we've progressed here over the past 90 minutes.
The over-under is famously always 3.
2.5.
No, but Ashton said, no.
Well, it's 5.
Yeah.
Ashton said, I won't get any. He said, I'll go 0-5. So 1 is a win for me.
Is a win. 2 is definitely a loss.
Again, I thought, but you still have to get 3 for loss for the people actually playing
ESPN WisconsinContest.com, legal rules.
All right, Chew, here you go. Question number 1. You ready?
Yep.
What was the old wives' tale that prompted this legendary line from you?
You're a big fan of corn on the cob, huh?
Oh, I know. First of all,
old
this question is baloney.
How?
Is it?
Because part of the conversation was, have you ever heard this phrase?
Yeah, correct.
And most people said they had not heard it.
But we learned about it. We had a special person call in to explain the phrase. This happened after the caller called
in. And what does the corn have to do with it?
Well, you'll
find
out.
Old wives' tale that prompted this legendary line from you.
You're a big fan of corn on the cob, huh?
I have no idea.
Always wear clean underwear in case you get into an accident.
Remember, we had the EMT calling. That was Monday.
Oh, okay.
And the EMT said, sure as heck, he notices
now,
if you have streaks in
that's
your,
where I got confused.
Streaks in your undies.
Ashton Hello. One and Chewy Zero.
All right, number two. What on earth could we possibly have been talking about here?
Give me it hard, nail it, and it's done. This is impossible.
You want to hear it again?
Just what day?
Tuesday.
This was a Tuesday.
Yeah, give it to me again. Give me it hard, nail it, and it's done.
I'll just hit it for you.
Sex?
I love how he just boldly jumps out at so many things.
Sheepishly.
But when it actually, like, he will make every innuendo under the sun. But when it comes to actually saying the word, he timidly steps up to the microphone and says,
sex?
What? No, that is having the flu versus having a cold.
Right. Remember, this was the 10-day versus 3-day argument?
Yeah.
I've been starting to think.
I remember that, but these questions aren't so difficult
now when you think about it, are they?
Well, hey, pipe down.
All right. I really thought you were going to get two, so I'm a little worried about you winning here.
Okay.
All right. Number three. Can you remember whose name you correctly said that caused myself and Ashton to be shocked in prompting this response?
Well, my a-holeness is right out in front of you. You guys try to code it.
What was the name of a guest we had on the show that you correctly remembered and then referenced on Wednesday?
Oh. Or do you know?
I wasn't here.
I told you, Gabe. I told you he wouldn't remember.
Yeah, we even at the time said this is probably going to be a week in Rachu question.
One more time.
You want to hear the audio one more time?
I'm not going to help him.
The problem with these questions is they are only vaguely connected to the actual answers.
Disagree. Totally disagree. The context is in the question.
It isn't.
It's a person's name to remember. It's one person's name.
Play the clip again.
And we all were surprised.
Well, my a-holeness is right out in front of you. You guys try to code it.
Yeah, the audio is just for fun. It's all in the question right
there. It was a guest?
Yeah.
So we had a guest on the show, not this week.
Also referenced twice earlier today.
But previously we had a guest on the show. You correctly remembered his name when we had a conversation on Wednesday.
I have no idea.
Ken Ingles.
Oh.
And we said at the time, you should remember this is going to be a week in retreat.
We set you up for it so many times.
I remember
you
that.
Remembered Ken Ingles?
Yeah.
You remembered just where?
The blue.
Pulled it out.
You were talking about the cap, obviously.
Yes.
Yes.
And after talking to Ken Ingles, like, we were floored that
you
remembered Ken
You know
Ingles.
Why I knew his name? Because the mall in the town over from us was called Ingleside. So I tied the two together, like you did with Chase.
Mnemonic devices.
Yeah.
Do you feel less bad about
Shut up. I'm not talking to you. Gabe, go ahead.
So you've unfortunately already lost, but we'll see if we can start building some momentum
for
next
week. And you should know that Brandon, who called in first, took the under.
Yeah,
so
very fast.
Smart guy.
You referenced a food item that some consider a delicacy this week, trying to compare it to a normal ingredient in everyday cooking.
Oh, truffles.
Yes! There you go. Suck it! There you go. I'm going to play the audio
That's
now.
A win. I won. You add too much truffle to something, and it. I went to a restaurant one time, and it was like a truffle
I mean,
this happened. When did this happen? This happened the day before? When did the truffle conversation
truffle
happen?
Truffle conversation was yesterday.
Okay, so not yesterday, the day before. Wednesday night. So before you guys had the conversation, and I did not alert you to this, I went out to dinner with Reese Davis and David Pollock of College Game Day, and they brought us some truffle cornbread. Truffle cornbread. Horrible.
It was the most disgusting.
Reese is the nicest guy you'll ever meet in your entire life, guys, okay? And he pushed the plate away and goes, I can't eat that. Too much truffle.
Yes.
He said the stench was overwhelming. Yes. We actually gave it back to the guy, and we were like, we did not enjoy these, and he took it off the bill.
Gabe, I have to do it to Reese, right? I have to.
I have to
hit the button. I'm sorry, Reese.
I'm kind of a big deal.
This is the ultimate rich people problem.
I can't relate any less to something than this.
It was a steakhouse. It wasn't like some bougie place. It's just something they offered with the steak as a side. But there were all the little black crumblies on top, and it smelled like...
It's too overpowering.
It smelled like dung.
My point stands. My point around the whole conversation, it stands.
Well, it smells like dung because mushrooms grow on dung. Did you know that?
Well, I mean,
like hallucinogenic. What's crap?
That's what I'm saying.
I didn't know if you knew that. I'm just bringing value.
What's crap? The length of the list of things that I could throw under there just related to this show. Well, we don't
One
have time
more?
For that.
Final question.
Okay.
What is the phrase that Jason Wilde says at the end of every segment he does as a guest? Even says it at the end of Wilde and Tausch.
Oh, my God.
Goodbye and have a nice day.
No, try again.
We argued about it yesterday.
I know.
Why did you argue about it?
Because I think that's what he said.
He didn't think it was take care, be good.
Okay. Take care, be good.
All right, everybody, take care, be good.
Said it to us an hour and a half ago.
All right, everybody, take care, be good.
And he says it every single time.
It just didn't sound right. When you read it, it doesn't sound right.
Where were you reading it? Was it a text?
You weren't reading question, it. Jen. Great anywhere. Question. There was zero reading. I was having deja vu because I had a similar conversation with Homer when I was doing a show with Homer. Like, oh, Jason says, take care, be good at the end. No, he doesn't. I'm like, yes, he does. He joins every show, every day. He said at the end of every interview, it's Jason Wilde's catchphrase, and Tweedledee and Tweedledum just...
To be fair, there was no reading is also Chewy's college experience.
It's the name of the memoir coming soon.
Was for the Tombstones.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That was around the Tombstone conversation.
We didn't give you a tombstone moniker yet.
You didn't give me one?
No, we did.
But we.
I want to know what it is.
I honestly don't remember.
Oh, sorry, officer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how fast you were going? We would also accept. We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we roll on right after this. I got a read to do. Let's see. I got my friends over at Great Midwest Bank. Ashton, I hate it when you look at me.
Gabe looked at me
over the computer, so I can only see your eyes, and you look like the dude from Home Improvement. What was the dude's name? Wilson.
Oh, Wilson.
Just like this.
Oh wait, hold on. I got to drop for that.
Wilson.
That's different Wilson.
Different.
I don't get to use that often though.
I know you've worked hard to build the value in your home, right? Well, a home equity loan will help you borrow from that value and give you funds for anything you might need extra cash for. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's a addition that you're putting on the home. Could be whatever you want because you've built that value in your home. And Great Midwest Bank's local loan officers will help you set up a home equity loan or a line of credit from that value in your home. Here's what one customer said about Dawn Chavez, vice president and loan officer at the Heartland branch of Great Midwest Bank. She said, I have worked with Dawn on several mortgage and home equity lines of credit accounts. She has been nothing but great to work with, very pleasant, very professional, and responsive. A home equity loan product may be just the thing for you. Talk to Great Midwest Bank's loan officers to get started on that. Great Midwest Bank is your and my simply local equal housing lender.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions? Well, the place to go is Fifth Third Bank. They've been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years. Think about that. A place you can trust for over 165 years. They've been doing it for the last 14 here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help your business succeed. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC. But I'm thinking it's time to grow.
We learned a few days ago that Jordan Love and some of the younger wide receivers will be throwing together this spring in California. Christian Watson was on the Rich Eisen show on Thursday talking about the chemistry that he has built already with Jordan Love. Ashley, give me number one on the sound sheet. I want to hear from Christian Watson, who was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday.
I spent a lot of time with Jordan Love, actually, whether it was, meetings outside of, meetings and practice and stuff, just to kind of, get that playbook down and, get a quarterback's, thought process on what's going on, outside of, getting reps in with 12. Us younger guys have, meetings with Jordan Love, pretty much weekly going into the later weeks of the season. Just getting in some of the younger guy stuff. I mean, we had quite a bit of younger guy developmental stuff that we did early in the season. So got reps in with him, and I think that relationship and that connection is strong already.
Hey, Sneezy, why are you laughing in the middle?
Why does he have to say his whole name?
I did
wonder. You know, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. It'd be like Gabe Neitzel every time if I was like, hey, Gabe Neitzel. Gabe Neitzel, can you give me a ride to the airport?
Kind of weird.
Does that make you think that maybe they aren't as close as he's insinuating?
No.
Oh, I didn't know if we were supposed to read into it or
not. No, it's just funny that he insists on using both of his names.
I don't know. I always say Aaron Rodgers, like every time. We know we're talking about Aaron.
No, you can
but
tell
if you're in an interview, are you saying Aaron Rodgers every time?
Almost.
Like if you go on KJM and they ask you about Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think I say Aaron. I think I say Aaron Rodgers. There's something about it just being like a, I don't know. I don't do it consciously. It's just the way that I think I say it as I reflect on it in this very moment. Chu, you are the only one of us, obviously, who has been in an off season where you either underperform or you have a season like you didn't want to. How much are these guys chomping at the bit right now?
I think there's a renewed energy. They were probably guarded under 12, which I think, I don't know. They just, to me, it seems like they got to get back to having fun. Right. And that doesn't mean going 11 and whatever, you know, it just, because I go back to 92, 93, where, you know, we knew we weren't a Super Bowl caliber team, but we just saw progression every year, every year. And I think that's where they're at. They're like, look, we know we're going to be pretty good. Might not be this year, you know, but we think we're getting a core together where we could head in the right direction. I think they got the anchor off of them because I can see the tiptoeing around Aaron. You know what I mean? Did I do the right thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Am I okay? Now it's just kind of hopefully be like, go out and play football.
How much of that, though, is the age thing? Because there's such a huge gap between how old Aaron is and how young these young players are. It's hard sometimes just to bridge the age gap. And then you throw in Aaron can have a prickly personality. And then you throw in Aaron can also be very demanding. Like, I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, so how much of that is just eliminated by Jordan Love being closer to them in age?
Quite a bit. You know, I mean, it was always me, Brett, and Frankie. And Frankie was the older one. Frankie's 5 years older than me and Brett, but it melded. Yeah, it's a lot easier. And I'm sure they're going to go out and have a couple pops. And while they're having pops, they're going to sit there. Hey, you remember that dig you ran the other day? I thought you were going to take it one step more. And that's the chemistry. That's where the I'm telling you, chemistry, if people don't believe it, it's a real thing. Real thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you saw that.
It took me 4 years to get it with Brett.
I think you saw it when Aaron took over for Brett as well. When you had the younger guys like James Jones, Greg Jennings, and those guys had more of a connection with Aaron than they did Brett, and maybe Donald was kind of on the outside looking in at the end of his career with those younger core because he was then the elder statesman. Maybe he was probably closer to Brett since they played longer together when Brett finally, you know, was traded in 2007 and didn't have the relationship that he probably had with Brett than they had with Aaron.
Yeah.
So how did a guy like Brady overcome that when he went down to Tampa Bay?
Brought Gronk with him.
Those were veteran guys, though. Mike Evans kind of figured it out. You figure it out eventually.
Brady is 62, Chew. Like, that's a huge age gap.
He's not done.
He's not done?
You
wait for the final 30 seconds of the show to drop your breaking news / hot take that Brady's not done?
He's busy. I'm surprised Jen didn't see him in Las Vegas. He's now a part owner of the Las Vegas Aces.
That.
Bought into that franchise.
Very exciting. Who has a better arm, him or Kelsey Plum?
I'm going to say he does because
Kelsey
I have no
Plum
idea
throwing
Kelsey
t-shirts
Plum.
Is lethal. Like, she gets into it.
Who has a better arm, her or her now husband?
Husband?
I've never seen Darren Waller throw a football.
Oh, Waller. Oh, that's the girl?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have got that.
If it had been weak in, if it had been on Week in Richu is what
Nailed
he meant.
It.
He was saying if it had been on Week in Richu, he would have gotten that one. This has been Jed, Gabe, and Chewy. Will, Dean, Tausch is next on ESPN Wisconsin. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back with you on Monday.